One of my favorite poets is Rumi, a Sufi poet who lived about 1,000 years ago. And he said, "Do you think I know what I am doing? That for one breath or half breath I belong to myself? As much as a pen knows what it's writing, or the ball can guess where it's going next." And he equated himself to this sort of being that was being propelled through life, and that he just sort of let go and let God let go and allowed this surrendering process to be the thing that just guided your life. And I must say that in most of my life, and this is over 50 years now, I've had very few goals. Very few goals. Now, I can hear arguments and I can hear the doubts, and because you've been exposed to this for your whole lifetime. And you say things like, "Well, if I want to go to the bathroom, I have to have a goal to get there." And I'm not here to dispute any of that, nor to make anybody wrong who believes in these things strongly. All I'm suggesting is that you can have satori, an instant moment of shifting around when you are ready and willing, and God works in very mysterious ways. If you have this readiness and you say, "I'm just turning this whole problem, this whole struggle over, and I know that the universe, that this organizing divinity that is a part of everything, that is invisible, knows what it's doing, and I'm going to allow it to work through me, and I know that I'll be guided, and I'm not alone." And the moment that you have that awareness that you're not alone and that you're going to be guided, then goals don't seem to be nearly as significant or as important. Life is really what happens to you while you're making other plans. And there's an old story about if you really want to make God laugh, tell her your plans. When you let go and let God and stop this insistence that you have to have everything planned out and become free, then you begin to experience this heightened awareness. One of the suggestions I'd like to give for getting rid of this whole insistence that you have goals is just to be willing. Willingness is the key word here. If you are willing to do what it takes to turn whatever vision you might have into reality, then you'll begin to see the opportunity showing up. If you have to have it all planned up in a goal and set out while you're making your plan, you'll miss 200 opportunities. Another belief that most of us have hung on to for most of our lives because we've had it handed to us is that we believe that we always have to do our best. I hear this almost every single day from motivational speakers, from athletes. "I have to do my best." I'd like to really challenge that. You don't have to be always performing and always doing things exactly at top level. As a matter of fact, that perfectionistic idea that things always have to be done perfectly is very often the thing that will keep you from achieving anything. As a doctoral student, I can remember, and as a doctoral advisor, after I received my own doctorate, I can remember having many, many students who would go through all of the coursework, and then they couldn't write their dissertation because they just couldn't get it right. And I'd say, "Look, you don't have to do your best at this thing. Just get it done if you ever want to be able to have your doctorate." "Well, this isn't right, and this word isn't there." And if you're constantly preoccupied with perfectionism, it will be spelled paralysis in the end because you will be paralyzed and not be able to accomplish things. Get rid of that whole idea of best and just do. Just substitute doing for best. There's an ancient book of wisdom called the Tao Te Ching, and they comment in there on what it is that constitutes a sensible person. It says, "The five colors can blind, the five tones deafen, the five tastes cloy. The race, the hunt can drive men mad, and their booty leaves them no peace. Therefore, the sensible man prefers the inner to the outer eye." And letting go of all of this perfectionistic idea that you have to do things a certain way is really moving to the inner rather than the outer eye, and not allowing yourself to be blinded and deafened and cloyed and saddened by the idea that you always have to do things in a certain way. One of the suggestions I would make for getting rid of this idea that you always have to do your best at everything that you do is stop imposing this on yourself and on your children, to get rid of that idea and instead replace that with, "There's going to be a few things that I'm going to do very well and maybe even my very best, maybe a few, maybe one or two, but all the rest of the things that I do in my life, I'm just going to do and I'm going to enjoy them. And I'm going to take that pressure off of my children as well. Because it's far more important for them to do and enjoy and be at peace and be blissful than it is to live with all of the ulcer-producing neurosis that comes from constantly being told that you could do a little bit better. You always have to do your best. Your best is really just an idea that the ego keeps promoting in you in order to keep you away from the higher part of yourself, which says, you don't have to perform at all. You don't have to beat anybody. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be at peace. Be at joy. Be at bliss. And then whatever it is that you do, you will be unattached to the outcome anyway. You'll be in process. You'll just be enjoying the whole journey rather than seeking out all of these destinations that other people have imposed on you.